Right, it's 7 o'clock. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. I've asked Rob if he'll do the opening remarks. And I'll lead us in the pledge.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to gather as a community this evening and give thanks for this wonderful community which we have to live and grow. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to serve and participate and be a part of this great nation and also this community which we live in. At this time now, as we open this council meeting, we ask that we will be guided and directed, that we will be aware of the things that our community may need at this time, and that we can also be aware of those that are around us and those different things that may be going on. Father, we pray for guidance and direction on what we do, and we do it some way, they like some of us, Christ.
Amen.
Please stand and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Rob. By way of roll call, all council members are present, and Michelle and Robert here, so we're kind of full group. We're going to go past item 5 on the minutes. And item 6 is Newell. Newell Hales from Redmond.
Salina.
Yep. Well, I'm wrong all the way around. That was Tom.
Good. That's all right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Newell Hales. I am a candidate for the Sevier County Commission. Seat number A being vacated by Commissioner Johnson. I am a fifth generation Sevier County citizen. My ancestors helped settle Redmond, and that's where I grew up. My father, 1945, my father purchased ground in the hills west of Redmond, and with a team of mules and a Fresno scraper, he started a company that became known as Hale Sand and Gravel. As his family grew and became part of the business grew as well, employing hundreds and hundreds of people in Sevier County and the surrounding area over six decades until the fall of 2007, when my brothers and I sold the business. My family has always been involved in the betterment of our area. My father served as mayor of Redmond. My oldest brother, John, many of you may know, served on Richfield City Council. And my brother Tom served for many years on the Sevier School Board of Education. When the Sevier Valley Center was built, Hale Sand and Gravel donated thousands of dollars to the success of that effort. I have been a member of the Salina Lions Club, North Sevier Search and Rescue, and I've served on the Salina City Council on 2 different occasions. I know how to get things done. During my first time on the City Council, I influenced, and as you all know, you can't do anything alone. You have to have a consensus of the majority. So it's important that you can influence people with your ideas. But some of the things that I was able to help get accomplished while I was on Salina City Council the first time was the development of Salina's Industrial Center. When I used to go to Salt Lake in business, I would occasionally stop in to Kenworth Sales and stop into the office of Kyle Treadway. He is the owner of Kenworth. And I would put a bug in his ear that he needed to be in Salina. Well, it took a few years, but now not only Kenworth, but Peterbilt and Freightliner all have stores in Salina. I spearheaded the creation of the North Sevier Recreation Department. It was a challenge to get the 3 communities of Salina, Redmond, and Aurora all on the same page. I spearheaded the annexation of large parcels of ground south of the city for city growth, and that's where the industrial park is, and that's also was necessary to put the city park inside city limits. Up until that time, it was not in the city limits. There's many projects we did, and I helped spearhead We did improvements around the city schools. Just improved streets and sidewalks around the schools for safety, around the elementary, high school, and middle school. We completed lots of projects, probably too numerous to explain at this time. But the crowning achievement I accomplished while on serving on slated city council, the first time was to reintroduce prayer into the city council meetings. During that time and prior to that time, the ACLU had gone around and bullied much of the cities and discouraged, and some of the cities decided to knuckle under and stopped having prayer at the council meetings. The second time I was on the city council meeting, or city council, I was over at the Balloon Festival, among other things. There's lots of other things that we accomplished the second time, but I have served on the Sevier County Planning and Board, the Planning Board, and was part of Go Sevier. I don't know if any of you remember Go Sevier, but I was part of that. I see the job as a county commissioner to be an advocate for the county and the citizens, to create an atmosphere where private enterprise can be successful and thrive. If elected, I will try to do that. Most of the time, that is accomplished by government getting out of the way. George Washington said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." Our founding fathers did not give us a democracy. They gave us a republic. Now, Benjamin Franklin said of a democracy, he said, "A democracy is like two wolves and a sheep voting and watch for dinner." The republic is set up to protect the rights of the individual, sometimes even from his own government. Elected officials should know the difference. I know the difference. And if elected, I will use my influence to protect the rights of the individuals, and that includes property rights. I have spent the majority of my life trying to expand the economy of Sevier County. I have tried to increase the standard of living of all in my sphere. As I've said, I am a fifth generation Sevier County citizen, but none of my four children live in Sevier County. There are just not enough good jobs, housing opportunities, or other opportunities in Sevier County. Unfortunately, the biggest export of Sevier County is our youth. I want to change that by making Sevier County a great place to live, to raise a family, come back to. If elected, I will continue to use my influence to improve the atmosphere for private business, to expand the tax base, and ultimately the economy of Sevier County. I will use my influence to correct the problems stemming from the lack of numbers of representation in Sevier County and all rural Utah. Carl and Darren need help. I'm a conservative constitutional Republican, and I believe in putting America, Utah, and ultimately Sevier County first. I believe in exposing fraud, waste, and mismanagement of public funds wherever it exists. I believe in government transparency, and I believe that voting and election laws need to be fixed to restore the voting confidence in the election system. If elected, I will work towards that end. May God bless Sevier County, the state of Utah, and the United States of America. Thank you for your time, and may all have a good evening.
Thank you. I imagine we'll have you. I imagine we'll be back. Around, huh?
I will be around. Do you have any questions?
Right. Thank you.
Really?
Okay. Item 7 is the conflict of interest statement. Hearing none, we'll move on to our business section. Kiana, would you like to do your... This is our East City Council Mayor.
Okay, so I just wanted to come and update you guys about the service project that we came and presented here about a month ago about recording veterans in the cemetery. So me and around 13 other people, including youth council members, youth city council members, and then just friends, were able to go to the cemetery. We spent about 8.5 hours spread out upon a few days, and we just combed through the cemetery with clipboards and stuff and marked down every veteran we could find row by row. The total number we came out with was 739. We also had some graves that had little indicators that the person may have been a veteran, but we had nothing official to go off of, but we didn't want to rule them out. So what we're planning on doing is having a booth set up on Memorial Day and Veterans Day, just so, and it's going to have like the list of veterans we have, and then people can come and make sure their loved ones who have served are on the list, and if not, we'll have a paper so they're able to put them down and we can get them on the records. Something interesting that I wanted to share was the totals from each war that we found. We had 49 veterans from Vietnam, 153 from Korea, 361 from World War II, 56 from World War I, 9 from the Spanish-American War, 5 from the Civil War, 14 from the American Indian War, and then we only had 1 from the Mormon Battalion. We're hoping that this project will not only help us as a youth city council with all the upcoming service projects we have planned, but help you guys with anything you need done in the cemetery with that. We're planning to have, we want to put a flag on every veteran's grave for Veterans Day this year, so that will help us with that. This was a really great opportunity to honor these veterans and make sure that they were recorded properly, and we had a really great time doing it. That's it.
Where did you record them?
Where did we record them?
Yeah, so those are like so it's.
We have them all on like a Google sheet, and it's got the war they were in, and then if it said it has the branch of military they were in, and just stuff like
and
that.
And does it have like the plot too? Like, did you map it to the plots as well?
Yeah, we did.
And where is that stored? Okay.
We're still working on that.
Okay, great. As long as it ends up somewhere in the city.
Yes. Yep, that's the goal.
What a great resource. Thank you. That's awesome.
Yep.
So have you worked with the wreaths? You're working with the Petersons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
How many from the Civil War?
The Civil War was 5.
Five?
Yep. So not very many.
Cool.
Yep.
Trying to figure out how we got here.
They probably migrated here.
Did you say which side?
When was Richfield founded?
We don't need to go
back.
1864.
And the Civil War ended in 65, so they must have lost them. Brought them out here?
They may
or did they just do a mockery?
They may have been deserters. Could have been.
Well, they didn't die in the war necessarily.
Cool.
All right.
Thank
any
you.
Other questions?
That's cool.
Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Okay, I'm going to skip up item F is to review and discuss waiving the impact fees for the Utah Housing Corporation. Mr. Kent is here, so help us understand that. And I think you could get done, right?
Yes, thank you. That's a quick way to make me the most unpopular person in the room. Travis Keel, I'm the executive director at the R6 Regional Council here in Richfield. I'm not with Utah Housing Corporation who made the request, but we do partner with Utah Housing Corporation on these types of projects. So I thought I could be here to answer any questions or speak to the program a little bit. I'll be real quick. I don't know how familiar you are. This is our CROWN program, which stands for Credit to Own. We've been involved with this for 20 plus years throughout the entire 6-county area. Typically, they're single family homes. Utah Housing Corporation acts as the developer. They hire the contractor, they build the home, and then in essence, we're the landlord. Collects rents, maintains the home, makes sure they're really nice. We've got them all over the 6-county region. Really a neat program. We use them as rentals for 15 years, and then at year 15, they have to be sold. It's affordable housing while the tenant's in there, and then it's sold well below market value. So it becomes an affordable house for the person that's able to move into it as well. So this project is actually the first of its kind in our area. We've always just done single family houses. This would be a fourplex condominium up at Centennial Plaza. So it's called Centennial Park. There was kind of that last little section there that nobody ever built on. It came for sale and Utah Housing picked that up and wants to do a set of 4 townhomes there that would match all the other ones, and they would be part of this CROWN program. So,
so will that has an HOA on that?
It does.
Existing one, right?
Correct.
Is this going to be or is this going to be brought into that HOA?
Yes.
Or are you going to have separate roads in and out?
No, it's part of it, is what I've been told.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I just mentioned that that's not typically something we've done, is waive impact fees.
Correct.
And we are...
It's probably a bigger discussion than possibly this one project.
Yeah, but, I would think so.
You know, a big question.
So as Utah Housing Corporation, are they private or public? Is it a private-public conglomerate?
They're very interesting. So they are the state's housing authority, right, for the state. So yeah. They are under public. You know, a big question with this type of request is always, does it just put more money in the pocket of the developer? With this type of project, the answer is no. I mean, so the developer fee is set on these projects at the time of LIHTC application. And so really, if there is any waiver from the city, it would just make the potentially bring rents down and make the home more affordable when you sell it at year 15. It really would go back into making the units more affordable.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of difference between this and the Southfield.
Correct.
I'm glad to hear you turn more affordable, because I'm not really sure what affordable housing is anymore.
It's scary out there, isn't it? It really is. So.
Well, and I think one of the challenges that I think our community faces is the difference between affordable housing and low-income housing, right? Sometimes
Correct.
Those get intermixed.
Yeah, and these are set-aside units. These are, you know, so they'll be rented to folks at about 60% of area median income or below to qualify and be eligible to rent these units. And then the goal is why they're there over the 15 years. We actually do have quite a few that stay for quite a while and actually live there all 15 years and purchase it. But whether they're there 15 years or 5 or 10 is to work with them to prepare them to become a homeowner, prepare them with their credit and debt-to-income ratios and everything to actually be able to purchase the home. You know, at year 15. So it is a neat program. You know, I can't say that about every program out there in the world, but this one does really well and accomplishes its goals.
What's the timeline?
I don't. I know they'll want to, I mean, it'll be this year in 2026 for sure. I mean, I think they'll probably go out to bid, I'd say, in 90 days from now and then get them built this year.
Obviously, you live here, so you're aware of some of the settling problems we got up there.
100%. Yep. Yeah. So they've got a line item in the budget. They had a soil engineer come and take a look and everything, and put a line item in the budget there to mitigate those problems. Hopefully.
Do you know if there's other cities that offer this waiver?
There are. Yeah, across the state. Yeah, several do it for low income or affordable housing. Right. That's what's hard is then to kind of build that threshold of when do you say yes, when do you say no type of thing. So. But yeah, they do, yeah.
Who prepared this demo?
I did.
This is awesome. I like this. It says under current housing inventory, 112 units built or under construction with 39 vacant. Is that all under the affordable housing?
No.
That's just the general numbers.
Okay. And that was just to speak to the comment in the letter about how we're in need of we are in need of affordable. I won't disagree with that, but I just also wanted to point out that we do have, there is an available.
There's vacancies out there. How much are we talking?
An impact around 14,000 a unit?
Per,
no,
so
about 40,000. They get multi-family, so they're only 75%. So
11,000.
The total would be 42,681 for the 4 units.
And then that funding generally goes to water, sewer, recreation, public safety, and we have to shift, if needed, those fees to existing taxpayers.
And if you want me to tell you how much goes to water, I can tell you that as well.
That'd be great.
So water would be $25,052. Sewer would be $3,796. Parks and Rec would be $10,575. Police would be $2,295. And fire would be $960.
So not having those funds in place, particularly for the water, they would have to be spread out somewhere.
Well, and just by way of information, in fact, I've seen the message today, but the state's considering taking the state out of helping with water. Okay. Going down the road, that's something that they're no longer wanting to participate in. So.
Not only are they taking themselves out of it, but they're going to start charging us.
Okay. and what are they going to use with our money? What are they going to do with our money?
Well, so then it will just go, but my understanding is that it will go to the pool, and the way we apply for water projects now through the Division of Water Quality, that would be the funding source.
Well, so everybody will put in and then we'll all get.
No, everybody will put in and you won't get any.
And some people will get milk.
So can we step out of that and just put it in our own pool? And not go from their pool?
That's undetermined this time.
The state's not been very kind the last few years to the cities.
I get to go to the legislative session every week. I'm headed again tomorrow night, and everybody always says, what do you do up there? And I say, play defense. Because everything that they try to do, we just say, please exclude counties of the 4th, 5th, and 6th class, and all of rural Utah, please. So, yes, we're trying. And
yeah, my son-in-law has been up there since it started, and he's just about beat his head so hard he doesn't have much head left. So
Bailey's paying.
Education and all of that.
Yeah, and you're well aware. I mean, I work with 49 small communities here in our area, so I get it. I know how it works, and budgets are tight. And it, at the end of the day, yes, it would help the project and make it more affordable. But again, I know this is a lot bigger discussion than
this. We've got some time to digest
this one project. Right. If we really need to know in April, probably like 1st of April, if we could. So
we need to get this on an agenda as an action item, then what, the next meeting or two?
I would love to talk through, whether it be a work meeting, I brought this up at times when we increased the impact fee years ago, trying to have an exemption or a discount or something for single family, and then define what single family is more affordable, and to try to spearhead any growth in that part of the world would be wonderful. And I'd like to tie the two together. We're going to talk about it here. It may not hurt to look at a couple of them.
The question is, with a lot of this, I think, is are there city policies that we need to adjust in a way that makes sense so that we can enhance these types of projects while not damaging our
one of the problems that you have with impact things, just so you're aware, is if you buy a share of water for, let's just say, $10,000 a share, a foot, that's a better way to put it, a foot. It takes 9/10 of a foot for a home, is what they figure. But if we put that money, buy that for $10,000, that's the price we use on our impact fee. That's how that's calculated. But between the time you pay $10,000 for it, now it's up to $35,000 or $40,000. But you can only recoup what you've actually invested. So you kind of fall behind the curve. You know, being proactive and buying it at a lesser rate as it increases is a good thing. But recouping it, not so much. But well, you're recouping it at that value too. You're not recouping it. So, but it takes 3 times that to try to get one. I don't know, does that make sense? But thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other questions, anybody?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For looking out for us up on the hill. Yeah.
Okay. Item B is a public hearing to receive comments on portable storage containers, review and discuss amending section 17.14.300 and 17.30.020 of the Richfield Code. So I will go ahead and open that public hearing. That's for you all.
Does anybody want to know what the changes are, maybe?
You want to explain that, Dave? David,
what
would you like?
Okay, so right now, in Richfield City, downtown area, I want article change. So this would be expanded to all the properties that have on the 20th Street. itself. Get property in some industry. It's something that the commission thought was passed years ago, and then it was passed into a session. Already not allowed residential areas. Using variables are the short term is different, but the construction process. More temporary and more issue with this thing. That's different. Well, so permanent.
Thanks, Dave. Well, I know the planning commission's worked really hard on this. I like what they presented to us. It's like a pretty clear old.
Dave, do you know, are there any that are in place now that would be effective?
No, they're already there. They're legal on use, so we can't keep off.
Okay.
If there's one, technicians in the office is looking at this. Came in and asked forgiveness after this got public. So that's kind of the start of the full ball rolling. But people that we allow that.
That's not on Main Street. It's not on Main Street. That's allowed there.
I'm only aware of the one that you're talking about on Main Street.
Why don't you also touch on it? I mean, most properties is really public. That property is one that's allowed.
So you know on Ed, you can't really tell what it is. If it did nice, it looks like it's just a shed. This does not simulate to see that. If you don't pull in a rusted sticker up.
Yeah, some of the neighbors, property owners used to do that. That's the, and that's why it's rusted.
Well, I can see that, but then I drive around and I see different properties with dilapidated sheds and even houses. And some of those issues were worse. They were trying to learn how do they.
Back to what you say, that's exactly why you have to make a firm draw a line in the sand, because aesthetics is something that's impossible to police. There's lots of things I'd like to change in some of my neighbors, the way they take care of the yards, things like that. And there's, yes, it has to get to a certain really way bad before we get involved in those things. But you make a good point, but that's the problem. Is that very nicely painted unit. Somebody else maybe would want to paint theirs like a 1960s hippie bus, and they think that looks nice. And to them it would, and maybe to the neighbor they wouldn't like that at all. And so just to enforce something on based on aesthetics is basically impossible.
I've got two of them, but they're not
here. Hey, there are no further comments. We'll go ahead and close that. Item C is to review and discuss the R project and consider moving forward with construction. I know there's a lot of you here on that. I don't know who's going to take over that discussion. Well, are you two young men going to do that?
Yes, sir. Yeah, maybe I can just give a real brief introduction. So Sean Lloyd and Jaron Thomas here, they're two former Richfield High School students who kind of started this whole thing, and invited them here to give just a little bit of background of the vision and where the concept came from. And then there's I'll take a minute after they're done and explain kind of some of the design and overall just aspects of the project and what it entails. And then we've got Jacoy Robinson and Chelsea Penny here that are they're here as well. They'll talk about the fundraising efforts and financial needs of the project. And I'd like to recognize Trent McAllister here as well. He's been helping a ton as far as just scoping out how to do the steel work for this, and he's really helping us out a lot too. So we might have some questions.
Thank you, Kendrick. So we wanted real briefly just to explain where this project came from, where it began, and where we are now, kind of the conception of this idea. And so back when Jaron and I were seniors in high school, we saw a need in our community. We realized that the R that's up on the mountain is really hidden. You can't really see it very much, and it hasn't been very well maintained. And so we set out on this project to improve upon this R. And we realized that there weren't really very many other options where we could put a larger R or a new R, just due to the Forest Service or the BLM, just the land where it was on. And so we kind of had to broaden our vision a little bit. And we ended up coming up with the idea to just build an upright Hollywood style letter R. Yeah, and so as we took this idea, we realized it would have a lot more challenges in terms of just building it than the solid R would have. And so we took to our own time in our engineering capstones class at Richfield High School and made that our project for that class. And we worked with Mr. Thorson, and we went and talked to engineers at Jones and DeMille Engineering and some other people to help us accurately be able to design an R that would actually function and be able to be maintained and be a nice presentation and good representation of community and school spirit for all of Richfield. Yeah, so we're pretty excited about this project. We both left on our missions, and we got home at about the same time. And during that time, Richfield City made a land transfer or a land swap. So now we own the land where the R will sit on. And so that's where we are now. It's been really amazing to see how many people have rallied behind this idea and this project and are excited and are here supporting as well. So we're excited to be here. We just wanted to introduce real briefly, and we'll give it back to Kendrick.
Is it at the same location?
No. If you look right here, it's above. It's over by the water tower.
Where the fire was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now I can see it.
So I should know this. How tall is this?
It's just a hair under 40 feet to the top.
You told me that once.
Yeah. Which is almost identical to the same size as the Hollywood letters. We're just doing one letter, not all nine.
I guess, and it's going to be painted, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a plan for that. We've worked out with Trend on doing the red, white, and blue colors on there.
It'll be powder coated or painted?
So the scheme for that is the white on it, we're planning on doing a white aluminum, so it's pretty corrosion resistant on that.
Pretty much like what you see a trailer, the enclosed trailers. Mm-hmm. Longevity on that's probably 20 to 30 years. I mean, with everything we're putting on this, with doing the sheet and then the powder coat, I mean, we're really working from 20 to 25, maybe 30 years before we even got to think about anything.
Okay, that's what I
want. You know, if we were just doing a steel painted sheet, yeah, that's like we're talking, you know, 5 years, we've got to refinish it. But we're going for longevity here. We're going for legacy, and something's going to work. We're going to put up, it's going to stand a long time.
Perfect.
And Yeah, so I'll show you kind of a section of how it'll be built, so you've got a good concept of that. But yeah, this is the location there on Fire Mountain. This is roughly at the football station, where Jeff Anderson and friend Barney are helping us figure out kind of the right orientation location for it on the, you know, on the corner there. So it'll be located. But yeah, that's roughly what it will look like. And then that should be pretty scaled.
So we'll be projecting light onto it when we light it. It's not going to be internally lit, but like
we are planning to be, our thoughts are to take and do outline light.
Yes.
Turn off and color change the stuff, especially.
Okay.
How many of you guys have seen the beaver? The beaver one?
Yeah.
We're talking about the beaver one. We're just trying to be one step above a beaver.
Well, yeah. we've stole one of their best sons, so
yeah,
from over there. So,
there's a view up the front of what it would look like. It's, we've met with the high school, and they've given us the exact colors and everything, and I think kind of permission to use their logo and everything with this. And so the plan is, yeah, this white will be out of aluminum sheets. To put on and print, seems to be recommended to use some stainless steel button fasteners to screw into a bead deck to support the structure. So these will all be individual panels that are placed around there, the red and blue color coated like 12 gauge steel, and then the white will be the aluminum. So it should have a really good longevity in the entire building resistance. If there's a damaged panel from a gunshot or something like that on there, then they'll be in small enough pieces that they'll be easy to take off. The panel. And then, the structure of it, so it'll be basically some steel upright columns with some back bracing on a fairly substantial foundation structure. That all catching a lot of wind, and so we basically have large footing of the that's the kind of the makeup and the construction of the ability to come up with that. There's any questions on just exactly what the structure is.
What if somebody tags it or paints it?
That's what I'm
saying. How long is it to get? How long is it to clean? Specifically a red paint.
Well, we are planning, what we've accounted for in our budget is to build a security fence around that whole fire.
I think we need to have Trent build a gate at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
I'm serious, like the ones at Forest Gate?
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's definitely doable, whatever you do there.
Is that,
like Kendrick said, I mean, we don't want to see it abused, but the advantage of the design is each panel will be kind of a 4x8 design, and Kendrick's provided us with a CNC file. So, heaven forbid we get the top of it gets messed up, we can take that 4x8 panel, you know, undo the fasteners, remove that piece, create a new piece, and apply it. So, we don't want to see it gets messed up. We've got to do that. But the ability to replace it there and design that.
Cool.
I like the idea of the gate too.
There will be a solar battery power system up there with it. We've got the price and run for that. So there's that one on the Y10 security camera. So.
I saw something in there about Wi-Fi, internet up there. Is that to control the lights?
Yeah. That's the plan, is there'd be whatever system the lights come with, if there's an account that's set up, probably the city on it. They're going to talk about that a little bit, but it was still needed internet service there.
Good.
We have one on the tower, on the tank right now.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
And they use a spot right there. That tank shot over somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if that's clear through there though. There is one there on the water.
Will the lights flash when we win?
They can, I think.
Guys.
It works too. It flashes every time you do it.
Well, let you guys talk about just the finances and fundraising that have been going on. We, Jaquan and Jousty have really used it with a great amount of energy and just, found a great idea and stuff for this to kind of help them.
We've been joking that we feel like we're on Shark Tank. And I was going to have these sweatshirts light up just to show you how cool it is to have the R lit, but that didn't happen. So I'm Ja'Cory Robinson, this is Chelsea Penny, and our daughters are really good friends. We took them canaling down the Sevier this past summer, and so we had a couple hours to just sit and talk about things that we would love to see happen in Richfield. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about these things for a long time, but it seems like it kind of gets dropped or, you know, forgotten about. And so Chelsea and I decided that we were going to be progressive and make this happen. We have a whole list of things that we'd like to see done, but we're starting with this one. So, and I think our community and our school will really appreciate this R. It's kind of sad when you're driving down the freeway and you come to Richfield and there's nothing. So we need something for our community and our school. One of our donation and sponsor things is the Raise the R sponsorship packet. We have given them to some businesses, and also the Richfield City Youth Council was assigned 30 businesses to take these packets to around town. And within the packet, there are different sponsorship levels. Do you have a packet? Oh, yeah. Okay. And we felt like this, you know, would allow all businesses of all sizes and to donate what they felt that they could. There are some businesses, obviously, in town that do very well and could donate more than just a small business. And also, we are aware that these businesses get asked a lot to donate money, and we appreciate all that they have donated to this town already. But we are trying to take some of the burden off the businesses in Richfield to help out, and also to make our community be involved, so they can feel a part of it, can get excited about it, and do their part. So we also, another thing that we have, in the sponsor packet, it tells how the different levels of donors will be recognized. And that's through the lighting ceremony that is scheduled to be the first home football game on August 28th. We were told that we could have banners with the logos of the businesses that fit within the donation range displayed there for that night, but we are to take them down because of the school, city, and community connection. We can't mix school with the community funds in any way. So, but they did give us, is that right?
We don't need to pay property tax.
Yeah, I know. That's what we were told by Principal Blackner. He's been very helpful, and
you told him we're going to make this better than that B over there in B.
Exactly. And he actually worked on the C in Cedar. So. Well, yeah. If we're going to do it, we want it to be the best in the state. So that's what we're going for. So we will have those banners displayed at the lighting ceremony of the first home football game. It will be a big ceremony where we will definitely honor the donors and other things that, other people that need to be recognized as well for their help and participation in this project. Another way, so that's our top, that's where we're going to get, you know, big chunks of money, which we have already seen very generous donations from businesses and families here in Richfield. The community's really excited about it, and we're just trying to get the word out a little bit more. And hopefully we've got kind of a momentum going, and people look on there and see who's donated. Maybe they'll get a little competitive, hopefully, and donate as much or more than another business or person. The way that the community can get involved, we have ordered yard signs that they can put up in their yards. And as soon as these get put up, people will start to wonder, what does that mean? And then that will entice more people to buy a yard sign because they want a yard sign in their front yard as well. So these we are selling for $50, and we'll place them in the yard. And also the donors that sponsor or gave us $50 or more will get this in their yard or business window or wherever they want to put it, at their own yard at home. So those should do pretty well. We've already pre-sold some of those, and the yard signs will be here next week. So we'll start hopefully seeing more of those going up in the town or city. Let's see. That is about it. We just want the community to be involved in this, because the more people that are involved, the better it will be received, and it's just something for Richfield to be excited about.
How much are you trying to raise?
Okay, that's where I come in. Yes. That's a great segue. I love this project so much. I gave up BYU basketball tickets to be here tonight. So just wanted to point that out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you sold your BYU.
Oh, no. I could have been there, but I love this project. I chose to be here. Momentum is growing, and we're so excited to see the community standing behind this. And so the total estimated cost for this, without any help, with no businesses donating products or materials or labor, we're projecting $150,000. Without help. But at this point, because of donations of supplies and people willing to donate labor, we've whittled it down to $65,000 approximately. That's huge. So $150,000 down to $65,000. So far with our fundraising efforts, which have been pretty minimal, like we just are getting this ball rolling, we're at $16,000 we've raised so far. That's 25% of the total cost. So far, the donors we have, Jones and DeMille is already with their design and survey, $15,000 worth of work so far donated. Chuck McAllister is going to donate $8,500 worth of his labor. Huge. We couldn't do this without Trent. Excavation, Duke Freeland is willing to do the labor for excavation. That's roughly maybe $1,500. St. George Painting, $5,000 worth of paint and their labor. Ace Hardware, $1,500 in supplies. Holly's will donate half the concrete we need. We need a lot of concrete, so that's huge. Morgan Harwood will do all the concrete forming. That's roughly $5,000 of his work. InfoWest is donating internet connections set up, and they'll cover the monthly bill for the internet. We've also had Carl Obrey with KO Roofing donate $5,000 cash donation. Tyson and Donovan Allen have donated from ERA $5,000. Nielsen Contracting, $2,500 donation. And our own Braden and Kirby have donated just out of their own pockets, $2,500. So college is on the table. These two have met with Stacy McKiff, and she's wanting to donate. We don't have a dollar amount, but I would guess it will amount to be significant. So we're here with three requests. The first request, do we have the city's approval to begin construction?
No.
No. Oh, sucker punch. Yeah. We just spelled Shark Tank. Is
yeah,
that it?
Kendrick looked at the got with the fire department, everything's good that way. They looked at the power line, you're 20th out of the right of way of the power line. So yeah, it should be good to go.
Okay. Thank you so much. The second request. We would like to request the city to set aside around $20,000 out of the next fiscal year budget as a backup. The reason we ask for that is if our fundraising, for some odd reason, which we don't anticipate, but if we come in with a deficit, we don't want to let our community down. We don't want to burden families, businesses, and volunteers. So how does the city feel about that?
$20,000. Yeah, Rob will figure that out.
So the way this works is I will propose a budget to the council. The mayor and I will get together and vote on this budget, and I will propose it to the council. Why not?
Okay.
So Rob, will you have to declare a conflict?
So, what's that? So I will tell you, I'll give my word to put it into the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. Okay. These guys have to decide.
In your hands.
Not me.
No. You guys.
If you mayor, I will give you my word,
but I won't have Rob put it in.
Okay.
So if you need to butter up, you better butter up.
Okay, here's the three we're working with. Okay. All right. And then the last request, which is not as timely, but who's going to monitor the security cameras? Who's going to monitor the lights, like setting the timer and then changing the lights? Obviously, we'd be willing to do it, but is that something that the city would want to monitor, staff, Parks and Rec, or a community volunteer? Anyway, that doesn't have to be decided tonight, but those are things to be thinking about. And those are our three requests. Any questions?
How do you feel about $5,000 donation, then $15,000 next year. Because if you don't need the money, then the city's not participating in the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
The land, and I would say a commitment for long-term maintenance.
Future maintenance.
So we're probably there.
But the one that kind of donation.
What do you build on the
grant?
What?
I'll give you $5,000 and I can see you.
Will you give five if the city gives five?
Anyone else want to chip in?
What are you building it out of, Trent?
So the main structure is white flange, the four uprights are a big heavy white flange, 8x48 white flange beam. The structure that is attached to that is a 6-inch 10.5-pound channel. So that's all welded to that. And then Kendrick has designed it so that, because we've got to have the wind resistance, we've got a V-deck. So the V-deck is like a galvanized panel. It's 1.5 inches tall. I don't know if you like, they use it on the concrete. But so the whole thing will be skinned out of that. So that's where we're going to get our structure, is out of the channel, the white flange, and the V-deck. And then we'll take each section. We'll do the white section out of that pink aluminum, and then we'll do the red and blue out of a powder coated panel. And those panels will be powder coated front and back. I feel pretty confident just looking at the design and the structure and the footings. I mean, I'm not a pro, but I've been doing this for a little while, but I mean, it's going to last forever. I mean, we talk about legacy, I mean, this is going to do that for my kids and my kids' kids.
I got two pieces of 30 foot I-beam, 6-inch out there. I didn't know if it.
That could work because we've got our channels are 6 inches. We could replace it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, if he's got some that he can use, I mean, there that one, the two armored ones are right about 30. Well, they go to the top, so they're 38, and then there's two shorter ones. So, yeah, I mean, if that's something to work in, I mean,
yeah. There's my $5,000.
Yeah.
I know I'm a Beaver guy, we go to Richfield, so I'll match Tanner's donation to the city over what their request
was. Okay, the request was would we budget a contingency of 20? The challenge is will we outright donate 10?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess we're talking the same, that 10,000 would be worked into our next fiscal year budget. Is that fair? That we're talking about?
Are you
talking about cash on the barrel heads tonight? There's a 20,000 right there.
But the question is it us donating 10 out of next year's budget or tonight finding that budget?
I think we'd be safe to donate.
Tonight?
No. How much do I, how much can I write one for? How much is in my...
You can write whatever I want in your own pocket.
He's going to go in his beat.
Your approval limit is $10,000, but you've got to have the money to do it.
Okay, well, I approved it anyway.
And so, don't tell me you're going to pull that up.
Do you want that in the minutes?
Here's the other question. Do we need, in the next budget, is there a $10,000 donation and a $10,000 contingency?
Well, there's no contingency line, so I will have to create a contingency line in the budget. Yeah.
I would feel comfortable saying that we could probably match these two in July. That's when our new budget is.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking 10?
Yes.
I think I could support the mayor in that.
Me too.
And if you can use that angle iron, you let me know and I can get my tractor and move it.
Yeah, talk to Kendrick. We can incorporate that.
I'll probably have to come out and measure it, but yeah.
What's an I-beam and one's an H-beam? They are a little different, but they're the same, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, so yeah. They are. So you know how heavy they are by chance?
They're heavy.
Well, we'll check the weights on and see, but yeah, it's very possible. We could incorporate that into our design. I don't see why we couldn't.
That saves $700.
Yes, I mean, the white lines were binary about $1.05 a pound. So yeah, we could save. That's where the majority of our cost is.
These are about new or probably $2,000 a piece, but that'd be my guess.
Okay. Yeah, so there could be some cost in there. Let's approach that and see what we did.
So let me maybe just explain what I see as a path forward with this. We have pretty significant donations already, especially as far as like getting the concrete done, the excavation, and with the cash donations we've received, I think there's enough for us to start with getting the footings in, even ordering the steel and getting those prepped with Trent's donations and stuff. And so that's why we're asking for permission to proceed right now. Because I think there's the ability to proceed with a major portion of it right now and to try to meet that schedule of trying to get ready for that first football game. And so obviously some fundraising will have to continue as we're building and stuff to come up with the rest of the money to finish it. The bulk of the expense, I think, is with all the paneling and powder coating and the solar system and that. A lot of that stuff that comes at the end. So I think that kind of works. We'd have to proceed with a little bit of faith that we're going to come up with the donations for the, you know, to put those finishing touches on. But as far as getting that skeleton up, I think we'll probably have enough right now to do that.
Well, the thing is, in pricing, most commodities we're using is some form of metal or something, or steel, and that is such a volatile market right now. You know, we think we've got some pretty good firm numbers. And honestly, what happens with these tariffs and stuff right now, it could go to our good. That thing could still go either way, but cross your fingers, it could still actually come down potentially, because right now the tariffs on that Canadian steel and aluminum would greatly impact the cost of some of these things we're using. So maybe our lucky stars will just line up and we'll come in under budget.
Might be a very short window.
We took like a 60,000 increase in rebar in 1 week on the pool.
Yeah.
1 week.
1 week.
Went from just went up 60 grand.
And it was going up again.
So it's crazy. Like Kim said, it's been really crazy.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes, thanks so much for backing this.
We got the approval. Thumbs up.
I wondered if we needed to take action with the motion and stuff.
Well, I guess I want to know before, does the council support that $10,000 match in the first new budget year?
We really can't take official action the way that's worded, but I think we're good.
To go on the next agenda.
Well, yes, we can, because it's just going to be forward with construction. We can't move forward with construction if we can't find it.
Hallelujah. Well, if we're okay, I just want to make sure we're posted properly. Thank
Can't even read it. Here we go. Review and discuss. Consider moving forward. Yeah. So I guess that that would warrant a motion that we could make right now, make it part of the public record. I don't know how we want to word that, pursue it to our little discussion on who donate what when, but I know how to do it. Okay.
Just Matt, Dr. Robinson.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to move that Richfield City approve the QUAR project going forward, and that we are willing to commit $10,000 in the 26-27 fiscal year budget to be matched by Dr. Robinson and Mr. Thompson. Fair enough.
Maybe add to proceed with, construction insofar as we have donations available to purchase materials.
Yeah, I'll take that as part of the motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Merrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Amos, aye.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll get to the board tomorrow.
Bring your shovels.
What time do you go? What time do you start in the morning?
I'll be around in the morning. I got some stuff to do. A lot of those investors are just coming up and making stuff. I guess we'll make
the morning. Give me a call in the morning and I or send me out there.
Yeah, I'll make sure
you're going
to do that.
Okay. If you could try to get like plans.
So it's all mixed with the plans and with everything.
Okay, item D is to consider approving the Winkle annexation resolution number 2026-3. I believe it's the pink one, or is it the pink one.
I didn't see a map on this, but is it right there, what you talked about on a triple subdivision? Any reason we wouldn't do this?
Well, all you're doing is accepting this petition to start the process.
Yeah.
Because it's not kind of similar.
No concerns with it. I would move that we approve the Winkle annexation resolution number 2026-3.
Second.
Okay. There's been a motion on 2 seconds.
Eric.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye. Okay, motion carries. Item E is to consider approving a development agreement for Pioneer Townhomes. Did you get what questions you had answered?
Yeah, I reviewed it. It looked good. I think that clarified the things, outstanding questions that I had. And so I appreciate the attorney taking a look at that, and I am ready to move forward to it.
Anything else, guys, on any of it?
It took care of what my main concerns were as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm grateful that the attorney took a look at it.
The attorney did a good job.
At those suggestions. When I was on the council before, we generally got, when we did get into trouble, it was when we were waving things here and there.
yeah.
And I guess my question is there something we need to be looking at in terms of code change on any of these?
I think that the planning and zoning are addressing some of that.
So it's a primary issue. This is a council. There are certain codes on the setback. So what's being done is in part of the last part of the work session. And the house is set a minimum width for the house homes, reasonable. We put that code so that every time we have town homes being built, we not have to do development agreements. It's just be okay. We need the reasonable width, we need setbacks.
Well, do they have an idea as to what the setback will match this?
Well, the setback that we're waiving here is taking it from 8 foot to 0 size. And so, there's still been a discussion as far as the width. What is council view looking at? We've had it as high as 35 and as low as 24.
In terms of the actual structure.
Problem is every RM 11 parcel isn't going to be square. It'd be easy if they were all the same configuration.
That's the real challenge is, and that's the thing we're trying to address in it, is there's a lot of confusion. It's RM 11, I get to put 11 units on it, no matter what.
Right.
And it's like, well, it's not always the case. But this is kind of, they're not, well, excuse me, they're
11 units, even if they are. Right. But my understanding, though, is that the intent here is to, like, make it easier to build townhomes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if they meet the standards, then
you can build. So, this is kind of a pretty good test balloon, how we might want to amend that particular part of our code.
We're kind of using this and some of the others as kind of a little test for what we want to do. But nothing, I guess this is probably we'll have a work session with you guys more to get into the public hearing phase. We have one more work session probably want to sit down. We guys have a work session on passage. So
I guess the firemen in me, I've made it fairly clear that I don't like the length of that and no access. It meets all the code, so it's fine. But that's one concern I have. The other concern I have is these can go in as a townhome with no residential fire sprinklers in them. But if they're all sold as rentals, then they, by law, should have them in. But I don't know that we can make them go back and put them in.
Well, that's happened to other developers in both places.
Right.
But they don't own these so individually. You can try it in subdivisions. Walk by one person, functionally, is that it's still four lots, still four parcels. Sold by one person has been rented.
Exactly.
So but the function, there's a gray area there.
Just concerns me that we need to be sure we're not missing something that could come back on us.
Yeah, that's been my concern too.
I guess yeah. That's like you say, you know, that's just me. That's how I view that. Mm-hmm. How I view things. It's fine. It meets all the it means everything to approve it. That's just, but I do have that concern.
Well, I'm glad we're doing this. It makes sense that our ordinance can stand on its own. Do we get it to that point so that we're not having to do a development agreement for everything? My understanding is that actually protects the city a lot more than just if they go against that, all it is a breach of contract, and we don't have quite as much recourse as it's based on the city code and stuff.
That being said, Brian stated this does meet all of the requirements to allow this available agreement the way it's crafted. And that being said, I would move that we approve the development agreement with Pioneer Lane Town?
Pioneer Town.
Pioneer Town Homes.
And a motion and a second. Council Member Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye. Motion carries. Item G is to consider approving the capital projects list for just for this year. I guess that would be 26, 27, right?
No, that's for calendar year
26. 26, okay. Calendar year 26. This is what we discussed 2 weeks ago. I don't know if anybody has any.
I know there's a requirement as well to have a CASI done on these, as well as
if the project's entered in an Utah project portal, it's new, with that, that all been done, if you care, so we'll have a report.
I still like we've got our, still have our bridge to somewhere in there.
So we're saying that this, our fire truck is number one.
Bridges to nowhere, the federal government.
Two, and the groundwater rights is number three. Is that how we're saying our priorities are?
Are those prioritized, or are they all?
But all three of them are, they only see the top three.
Yes.
Yeah, and our number four there is still in the short term is the Leonard East property acquisition, which I guess the enemy could help with that, but that, that's the one we would drop off most.
But we can move these three around.
That's good.
And actually, if you want to move the first East project to the midterm, the bridge won't even be beginning until the end of the year.
I think it's okay to leave it where it's at.
I like a discussion. I'll make the motion that we approve this capital improvements list as contained on the agenda.
Second.
Got a motion in a second. Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Motion carries. Dave, you got anything else?
Well, I'm just having to be sure.
Keith, your world's good?
Rob?
I'm good.
Great.
No, good here.
Okay,
nothing for me.
Michelle?
I just want to ask the council if each one of you has received this a loving project input or email. I'm just wondering if that's something the council wants to get in or not.
I did not see it.
Remind me what they're asking.
I haven't deleted that. Yeah,
they want to do a survey of our community. So they want to send out surveys to determine what the well-being of our community is.
Okay, that jogged my memory. So they're just asking us to participate by advertising the survey.
What do you think?
We've done it before, several years ago.
There much of a cost for that for us.
It's not any cost for us. No, and then the information that they collect is we receive that without any cost.
Is it good? Do you think, did you find it helpful the information we got back?
If you think there's a benefit to it, I'd be in favor of it.
Yeah,
I'd default to your opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's all there.
Okay. I don't have anything, so other than
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion in the second to adjourn. Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner.
Harry.
Hanson, aye.
Chuck, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Thanks for your long service.
Thank you. Some of us like our old, some of us like old beat up cars, don't we?